Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
High Velocity Radio, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fun segment. I thought of you when I saw this book. I am so interested to just sit back and listen to this conversation. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mighty Introvert, Luis Vasquez. How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Luis, can you share a little bit about Mighty Introvert? What are you doing for folks?
Sure. I'm teaching introverted freelancers how to sell.
So you're an introvert or you're just like helping introverts?
No, I'm an introvert indeed.
So I'm an introvert also. So this might be the quietest conversation of all time.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference because I'm a Mexican introvert. So we're a little different.
Well, can you share maybe some misconceptions about being an introvert?
Sure. So what I've found in research and as I've done this work is that introversion is very relative. It's a very relative story that people tell themselves. For example, when I was a young boy, I would play with kids very sporadically. So I'd be by myself most of the time playing. And when my family and my culture, when they would see me, these kids come to me and play with me, I would play with them for a little bit. And then as soon as I was bored, I would just go do my own thing again. 5-10 minutes later, these kids would come back and follow me and try to play with me again. And so my family and my culture, what they saw wasn't me being antisocial. What they saw was me being more of having leadership traits as a young boy, that I was a little bit more alpha, a little bit more dominant. And so they just indirectly told me that story my entire life, that because I was an introvert, I was just more of a leader. That's very different from the story that America or cultures that emulate America tell themselves. Normally, they perceive introverts as being passive, as being antisocial, just loners in lots of ways. But in reality, I mean, it's a different story because in Asian culture, for example, introversion is actually a sign of maturity and wisdom. So introversion is actually encouraged because, I mean, that's why senseis are so elusive. That's why they portray them as being so elusive.
Right.
So the story is very relative. And what I found in my work is that most people don't even understand introversion. It has everything to do with how stimulated we are by our environments. So while I'm an introvert, I know how to flex an extroverted muscle because I've been groomed that way. In my culture, socialization is embedded. I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers, so there wasn't a lot of alone time growing up. but it's just about being stimulated by our environment. And it just happens that introverts, we gain energy when we are by ourselves, but it has nothing to do that we're antisocial. It doesn't mean that, we stutter every time we speak. Not at all. Or that we're awkward socially. No, not at all. There's been stories that's been told to us indirectly. And so if you don't know who you are, and you don't understand your introversion, those stories can affect everything you do in life.
Now, what percent of the population is an introvert and what percent is an extrovert?
You know, the thing is with personality tests, it kind of starts to, there's lots of numbers there. I think the last book I read, I think it was in Quiet, where they're starting to find out that, like, in America, that book is Quiet by Susan Cain. I think in America society, they're starting to find out that like 40 to 50%, don't quote me on that, but I think like it's a huge percent that a lot of introverts are out there.
Well, I always looked at it being an introvert, that it's a spectrum and that in certain circumstance, I'm totally quiet. Others, I'm not quiet at all. And I founded a radio network and it's hard for anyone to believe that an introvert could do something like that because that's not the story they tell themselves about what introverts can and can't do. So I'm totally with you on the story that people tell each other, but it's also, I find that circumstances also puts me at a different stage on the spectrum at any given time. Do you find that as well?
Sure, absolutely. So I was a professional breakdancer back in the day. And so I had to perform in front of thousands of people. I danced for the NBA, I'd done shows for the NBA. And I mean, the stimulation in that environment is crazy, but I was focused. And again, I've developed the muscle to soak that environment in, even though it was just for a few moments. And so I think that introverts do it all the time. I mean, some of the best actors are introverts, and yet they portray an extrovert. Or Michael Jackson, let's just say, this guy was a stage performer, you know, on another level, yet most people who knew him, and if you study like his personal life, he was very introverted in lots of ways. So I think that the great thing about us introverts is that we are very, very good at observing and studying like our craft. And so we'll do what it takes to develop it. But the thing is, what I'm starting to find with my work is that introverts, specifically like freelancers and consultants, they're very gifted, they're very talented. But selling is just something that in their mind does not go with introversion. And so I'll give you an example. I was at this conference the other day and they had a closing party. And so they had, you know, music, they had a dance floor. And so I did a little quick breakdancing set and the crowd was like cheering and everything. And this young lady comes up to me and says, "Hey, I thought that was super awesome. I mean, man, really good dance moves, but I thought you were an introvert." And I looked at her and I said, "I didn't know introverts didn't dance." And so then she realized what she had said. But this is the kind of story that introverts are being told indirectly all the time. And so when they do something outside of the, you know, paradigm that the world has, and someone says something like that, they just feel totally out of place. And so it's not working for them. And so selling is one of those things where I feel that if I can teach an introvert how to sell and feel comfortable doing that, then what I've taught that introvert is how to feel comfortable in his or her own skin doing pretty much anything.
So now when you're talking with freelancers and they are struggling, do they see that the struggle is, do they kind of blame the struggling on being an introvert? Or are they using that as an excuse for their struggles?
Yes. So again, another thing that a lot of introverts have is even a misperception of what selling is.
Mm-hmm.
Most introverts, I mean, they picture the people you see at the malls, people at retail stores. These are very quick transactions, so they require little trust. And an extrovert, you know, prospers in that type of environment. I mean, they specifically hire extroverts because the amount of people that they're going to be seeing throughout the day can be draining, but if you're an extrovert, you can handle it no problem. And so there's this rule in selling that, you know, the better you get set at selling, the less numbers you have to throw at it. So I personally preach that if you're an introvert, you should, and you're going to have to sell, I feel like you should sell higher price projects and prospect with very few people. But the best way I can describe it is like extroverts are like these machine guns. I mean, they can succeed in selling, even if they don't have the best selling skills, just off of throwing sheer numbers. So they can just go and talk and talk, network, network, network. An introvert, we're more like a bazooka, where it takes us a little bit longer to set up. But our advantage is if we're really focused, we will prosper. But when we do hit it, I mean, we're going to blow the place up. So I personally think that freelancers, consultants that are introverted should start learning how to sell higher price projects. And that way they don't have to sell as many projects to sustain themselves long term.
And they can spend their time doing what they're probably better at, is that empathy side, the listening side, the problem solving side that requires thought rather than just,
exactly,
you know, kind of just assaulting someone verbally. which may not be a superpower of an introvert.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the strict perception, right? So I love the definition that the late Zig Ziglar gave of selling. He defined selling as a transference of emotion. And so once you take that into play and into mind, then you realize, oh, okay, so the way Luis Vasquez transfers emotion is very different from the way Joe Schmo does it. And we all transfer emotion, we all encourage, we all motivate, and we influence very differently. I have an uncle that's a really awesome salesperson. I learned a lot from him. Yet, if we were in a sales meeting, we handle that meeting entirely different, and yet we can both make the sales. Where he's aggressive, I'm a little bit more quiet. Where he will prompt a decision, I will probably ask a question. Where he's adamant, I'm probably calm and collective. And so there's this different styles in persuasion, in transferring that emotion. And once an introvert can see that, then it liberates him or her to really say, oh, okay, so I can actually sell in a way that's very natural to myself. Like, I just have to apply these proven principles, but the implementation and the way I apply these principles will differ from person to person. So it gives them a whole lot more wiggle room to play around with principles in their own way.
Now, is part of your process when you're counseling or coaching these introverts, are you kind of helping them create an inventory of their superpowers and then kind of showing them how best to leverage them in a selling environment?
Yeah. So what I do is I believe that there are 18 questions. There are 18 questions that will help you become that will help you master selling. And so in the true introverted way, I see these as questions that are complex questions sometimes, but the answers differ from person to person. And so after walking through 18 questions, if you can answer those 18 questions, you're bound to succeed in selling. And all these questions have principles attached to them, and the way we take action with them is different. So as I walk introverts through these 18 questions, what I'm doing is I'm helping them see principles that apply not only in selling, but in everyday life. And then it clicks for them. And then I ask them, like, in what way do you show this in your life? Or in what way have you done this before? And what feels natural? And not only that, but like, let's consider your ideal client. Let's consider your business. What helps them react? And so the selling becomes a very, not mysterious, but it's like a very weird formula, because you need to express yourself and speak in a way that's authentic and true to yourself, because we all have natural sensors to sense someone who's being fake. And so if we sense someone that's being fake, like an introvert trying to be an extrovert, we're not going to trust them, even if they have the best intentions.
Right.
So to communicate in your own authentic way and to know yourself enough to say that this is how I feel most comfortably communicating, and knowing what matters to your ideal client is very important too, because now you have to speak to the things that really matter to them, that trigger them, to catch their attention. And then in between you and your ideal client is the transference of emotion, is where the art of selling is happening. And so to be able just to tap into the way they normally communicate, to the way that they, you know, because a lot of introverts, they're not socially awkward, even if they think they are. But if I ask them, do you hang out with people throughout the week? And most of them say yes. Okay, well, have you dated people before? Most of them are married. They have kids. Okay, so you're not that socially awkward.
Right. There's evidence.
You have a Twitter.
Right.
And yes. And so I don't buy that introverts are antisocial at all, especially if they are already freelance and they already have a business. They manage here so far. It's not because they're antisocial.
Now, I'll tell you an area that I struggle with is social media. You brought up Twitter a second ago. As you mentioned, for me, it's easier to have these kind of, in my head, I'm framing it as these deeper, more meaningful conversations. And it's harder for me to have lots of superficial conversations. How does an introvert kind of manage social media in today's world?
That's a really great question because I'm still figuring it out. I just got social media late last year for that same very reason. There's two reasons why I just got social media. One, for my business, but I didn't have it because I'm very, I don't do well with like noise in my life. So I can only do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And social media is one of those things that just takes my focus away. And there's this transition of tasks, like taxes me big time. So I didn't have social media because of that. And then the second reason was because I just felt like a lot of things on social media was superficial. And so the challenge becomes, well, no one is telling you to be superficial. Then just continually output deeper stuff. And so we can make the difference and we can you curate our social media presence accordingly. So one of the things I did, one of my goals was what I want people to know when someone looks me up online, on my website, on my social media, I want that guy that they read from, they read his words, they see his picture, they see him in a video or social media or whatever, that if they were to see me in person one day, that they'd say, hey, are you Lise? Are you from the Mighty Introvert? I feel like I know you. Like you write really well because you speak just like you write. I want it to all be so consistent that people feel that they know me, which in social media world, that's kind of foreign sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes the person that you meet and the person that's on social media are two different people. So I encourage to really create an accurate reflection because all it does is it builds trust more and more and more. So these are all these interactions that you're able to have with people. I think introverts are super underestimating how much people want to connect on deeper levels. And so while they might feel maybe a little shy or nervous about asking a deeper question that's more personal, I think that people are typically ready for that. And you would probably do you and the person that you're conversing with a favor if you were to just dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now, we kind of met each other virtually through the Alt MBA program. Both of us were participants and both of us participate in the Slack channel for Alt MBA alumni. Can you talk about that program and why'd you choose to go through that program?
Yeah, so Alt MBA, Seth Godin, well, it's a given. Seth Godin, 18 best-selling books. I'm a fan of his work. When I started my freelance business, I was struggling big time. I was not used to failing at that level. And so I can honestly say that Seth's books were one of the reasons why I succeeded. And even, you know, to where I'm at today and what I'm doing today, Seth's books are, you know, game changing for me, at least. And the reason being is that if you read his books, if you read his content, if you hear him teach, this guy never tells you how to do anything. What he does is he talks about principles. He talks about what works and what doesn't, but he leaves an open-ended question. And he says, now, how do you do this in your business? Or how do you do this in your life? And so what he's doing is he's really prompting you with questions. And the Alt MBA had a very similar experience where, you know, we had prompts, we had projects. But if you remember, when you're in your group, a little piece of that time that you are with your group, people were just trying to figure out what to do. Like, what is he trying to actually tell us to do?
Right.
And the point was, he wasn't telling you to do anything. He just wanted you to do something, anything you wanted to.
Right.
And so, did you relate to that or no?
Yeah, I could totally relate. I'm in his marketing seminar right now. And and it just started. So I already went through the Alt MBA. So I was already familiar with the prompts being kind of ambiguous, kind of not perfectly clear, and not having a right answer. And I can see the people now going through this experience for the first time, struggling with what did he mean by that? What is that? I'm confused. And they're going through that kind of internal dialogue that they're trying to get the right answer when there is no right, right answer. There's an answer that's best for you today, and just go boldly forward. Trust the process. You know, that seems to be the mantra, is you just, you know, you just power through, do what you think is right, and just keep going.
Absolutely. And I think that it was perfect for an introvert like me, where I'm stimulated by challenges. I'm stimulated by problem solving. Now, not every introvert is like me in that way, but I think it is a common characteristic that we tend to ponder like deeply about stuff, and we really want to understand things on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And so Seth's style of teaching was just something that was the best for me, because what I learned was that who I am, or who you are, let me speak in that way. There's this principle that I really believe in, that who you are will take you further than what you can do today. A lot of people define themselves by what they do. And so they attach their identity to what they do. But in reality, they do what they do because of who they are, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that's a great
point. And so when your mind, when you shift paradigms, when you understand things from a different light, when you learn principles, that's who you really become. You start to change. So if people, when they goal set, they say, you know what, I want to do this. This is my goal. What they do is they typically go and look for how-to articles, tactics, like how do I get there? In reality, they should be spending much more time of that effort into becoming the person who does that in an intuitive way, in a natural way. And so what they're doing is they're imitating, but we have this saying in the breakdancing world, you can imitate, but you can never duplicate. And so a lot of people are failing because they're trying to be a Seth Godin. They're trying to be the person that they're trying to emulate, when in reality, if they could just see and learn those principles, shift those paradigms, then they will become that person who has an understanding and can implement and apply those principles in a very natural, authentic way. And those are the game changers.
Absolutely.
So I believe that Seth's work was perfect for that principle, that what he's doing is he's shifting paradigms. He's shaping worldviews. And he's just saying, now do it in your own natural way. Do it in your own authentic style. There is no right answer, as you said.
Now, for you and your business, how do you get the word out, and how do you attract new clients?
So for my business, I've reached a point where people actually come and hire me. So they kind of find me more than I find them. I only take a handful of projects a year. So I sell in my freelance business, I sell it a little bit at a higher price point. So I only need probably a good 3 to 4 projects a year. And the rest of the time I'm spending on Mighty Introvert. But this has been like a network that I've grown with time. So I don't believe, like, I'm very choosy on the networking events I go to, conferences I attend, even conversations I have, like phone calls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for my business, I'm just very super laser targeted. LinkedIn has been very good to connect with people, but most of the time people just kind of refer me to people, and it's worked really well, because practically anyone who meets me in person, I probably form a deeper connection with them in half an hour than most of their friends have in like 3 days, probably. But it's because there's like a very deep conversation that's going on, and I'm not scared to have real conversations because it's just not in my nature. It bores me and it drains me. And so I want to make sure that I'm fully present when I am connected with people. So I personally, to grow my business, I have 5 pockets. There are family and friends. There are online communities. They are networking. So they're in-person communities. So like meetups, networking. And then there's like freelancers, other companies that complement the services that I provide. These are all places that people are ignoring, but you want to make as many friends in targeted, what I call prospecting pockets, as possible, and just start hanging around those, like where a lot of prospects, there's a high concentration of prospects hanging out. That's where you want to just invest time if you do have to go and network. But most people can network on just everyday living. You know, if you're just, I don't leave my apartment too often, but when I do, I'm almost sure that I make a friend or two. And so I just make it a point that if I'm going to leave my apartment and I make a friend and someone says hi to me, I'm going to have a conversation with them. And I'm probably going to get exchange some kind of contact information. And so I'm just planting a lot of seeds. But it's as I live. It's not very as intentional as it was before. When I started my business, yeah, I had to be a little bit more aggressive. But if you, you know, the thing is, sales, man, it's just, it's a deep concept. Like, business is deep. I believe that there's a lot of people trying to separate, especially when you're a freelancer. You are your business. You're a one-man show, one-woman show. I feel like people should feel less fearful of getting personal in their business and vice versa. Get a little bit more professional in their personal life. I think they should be all one because that's part of who you are. And so if I'm with some friends and I see an opportunity with business, I'm not scared to follow up on that opportunity, even though they're family or friends. Vice versa, if I'm in business, I'm not scared to just be a friend and not talk about business. So I go out to a bar with some of my clients. My clients and I are very close. So I know their family. I've gone to cookouts with them. You know, I've done lots of things with them because they become very, very good friends of mine. But that's just in my nature. And most people were like, no, you should have a separation between. But it's what differentiates me at the end of the day. And my clients would rather hire me, even if I am more expensive than someone that someone knew who hasn't spent that bonding time with them.
So now if you're a freelancer who wants to kind of tap into you and your resources, is there a website?
Yeah, mightyintrovert.com.
And then on the website, are there some free information or is this only paid information?
No, it's everything that I've created has been free. So I've not charged anyone for anything as far as content goes. I just created a free 4-day course, walking through the sales process. So that's available. I just launched that. I have a positioning guide somewhere on the website too. And I'm just getting ready now to finally launch a paid program. And so that should be launched in the next couple of weeks.
And the paid program will be like kind of a more robust curriculum for learning how to do these to sell.
Yes. Yep. It's actually, I'm framing the program according to those 18 questions. And so I'll have different tiers. I'm assuming, like, I'm going to try to launch it first, kind of an alt MBA style. So right. I'm going to only take 15 people and walk them through that program and refine it with time and maybe make it available as a online, like a self-paced program. But for the first few runs, I plan to make it a hands-on online workshop.
And then some of your business comes from larger companies that work with salespeople and you help them, the introverted ones, sell more. Is that also part of what you provide?
So I don't work with them directly, but I do speak at events. So like this, in the next 2 weeks, I'll be speaking at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for their entrepreneurship program. So I do speak at events and seminars and such, but I don't do one-on-one work with them really.
And then do you have any tips before we wrap for that introverted freelancer? Maybe some kind of baby steps they can take?
Sure, absolutely. I would say that if you learn how to sell, most of the bulk of the work for an introvert is upfront. So I think introverts are underestimating positioning. Positioning, what it does is it equips an introvert with confidence. So positioning is just a set of decisions that you make and is the perception that the world has of you. And so I can go to a sales meeting in my beanie and some tennis shoes, and you can go there business casual. It's both a decision we made right before the sales meeting, but we're changing the perception that the world has of us. So now take those small decisions and make everyone very intentional, every decision intentional according to who you are. And if you have a reason for why you're doing what you're doing, what you do is have more confidence when you go and actually communicate and converse and interact with people. Because now you know why you charge the way you charge. You know why you're telling them about this specific thing. And so if you have a reason for everything you do, I think that's the key for an introvert's confidence to just explode, is to really have a reason for everything they do. So pay attention to all the small decisions, even in selling. So it might not be so concrete, but I would just say spend some time studying your ideal client, studying the way you're communicating with them, and really decide why you're doing everything you're doing, why you chose that color, why you're writing it this way, and have a reason. And you'll see that even if it's not the best, just because you have the confidence, that's what you're going to be selling when you're interacting with them, because you're transferring that emotion of confidence. And nobody wants to do business with someone who's insecure, who lacks confidence. Nobody buys that. And that, so,
well, how do you,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How do you move a person, or how do you counsel a person to raise their rate? Because I find that most people charge too low.
Oh, well, again, it's all in the perception, right? It's all in the reasoning. So what the framing of framing questions. I mean, this is one of the videos I just finished doing for the program that I'm creating. In the way you frame questions in sales meetings has everything to do with how you perceive the value. So the most horrible question, I mean, this is an article that I'm releasing next week that is kind of a sample content of the program, but it's framing questions. So the worst question you can ask in a sales meeting is, what's your budget for this project? It's a horrible question, because what you ask isn't always what people hear. We experience this in relationships all the time, right? When someone gets defensive because you ask a question and they're reading into what you're really trying to imply.
Right.
And so what prospects hear when you ask the question like that is, how much can you spend on me? That's what they're really hearing, right? And so they're going to be more conservative with their number, or they're going to try to game you. And so you don't want to play that game. Instead, for my business, I'll give you an example. And this question, when you reframe it into different businesses, it's just different. But I learned to ask, since I was working with corporate companies, business people, I know what mattered to them most was saving time and making more money. So instead, I would say, so after we implement the solution, how much time are you expecting to save? And so what I'm doing is I'm gathering like a real tangible goal of theirs. And then another variation of that question is, so after the solution that we've implemented, what's your expected revenue? And so now again, I'm gathering tangible goals. But what this is, there's two types of questions you ask in a sales meeting. There are value-based questions and then technical questions. Value-based questions help you understand. They equip you with the details to understand the before and after picture your clients are trying to create. And that information is what you're going to use to justify the price, because the price has to make sense according to the after picture. So if, for example, if I'm going to work on this project and they're going to expect $150K worth of revenue, and out of that $150K, let's just say, $150K revenue, then of course I can charge them $30,000 or $40,000 for the project. I mean, it's a no-brainer that
right.
If this project is going to give them that, and let's just say it's going to give them over $100,000 of revenue every year going forward, and I can deliver those results, then $30,000 in a business person's head is a no-brainer. Like, I invest $30,000 and I'm going to get this going forward. And so it's all in the presentation, strike that value, and you learn how to regurgitate it in a statement of work, in a proposal, in a nice outlined way where prospects understand it. What they're seeing is, oh, I'm not spending money on this guy. I'm investing money into him because I'm going to get more returns. And so it's all about extracting that right information. Most freelancers, what they do is they spend time on the technical questions. And the technical questions, what that equips you with is how to go from the before into the after, how to create that picture for them, how to move them from point A to point B. And many introverts get stuck up on the technical details when in reality, they should be spending a little bit more time extracting those values. Like, what really matters to my client, and how can I shape that into a statement of work that communicates value to them? Say, look, when you invest in me, this is what I'm promising you. And that's the real way. I mean, don't look at your projects as like just the technical stuff that you do. Look at the real change you're making. And that's what people are going to pay you. And you can up your prices if you learn how to present your pricing in that way.
Good stuff. And once again, the website, Luis?
MightyIntrovert.com.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Luis Vasquez, the Mighty Introvert, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.